We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fourth day of November 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, Senators Kerry and Graham are meeting with administrative officials seeking a way to move the climate change bill forward on the Hill. The Secretary General of OPEC says the group may increase oil production if prices peak above $75 to $80 a barrel. And the president's pick to become the head of trade negotiating for agriculture is coming under fire from the left. Dave Dickey will have all these stories in a moment. And then we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City as we wrap up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Lernard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
On this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby December wheat for the day, up 5 1/4 at $5.21. The March at 5.40 3/4, a nickel higher. And May wheat at $5.53 3/4, up 5 cents. December hard red at $5.26 3/4 in Kansas City, 6 3/4 higher. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, a 6 cent loss, down 6 at $3.84 in the December. March at $3.97 5, 6 lower. May futures, 4.07 1/4, down 5 3/4. July at 4.15 3/4, 5 3/4 lower. And September contract down 6.5 cents in the corn pit at 4.22 1/2 on the afternoon. Soy complex, November beans, $9.95 0.5 cent, down 11 1/4 cents. January at $9.99, 11 1/2 lower. The March at $10.02 1/2 cents, down 11. And May beans at $9.99 1/2, down 8 3/4. December bean meal at $3.01.60, 4.80 lower. December oil up 2 cents at $37.55. Dease live cattle at $86.25, 55 cents higher. Febs at $87.37 1/2, up 35. November feeders 70 cents higher at $95.37 1/2. And December lean hog futures today at $57.80, finished 25 cents higher on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. December oil at $80.32 a barrel, up 72 cents on its settlement price. November ethanol, $1.97, 2 cents higher. Natural gas, 18 2/10 cents lower at $4.74. The RBOB at 201 7/10 is up 1 1/7 cents. The heating oil at 209 3/10, that's diesel fuel, 2 cents higher. Silver at 1739 is 0.22 higher on the afternoon. And the gold at 1086 70 cents, up $2.40 on the afternoon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 9,910. It's just about 139 points higher for the day. The U.S. dollar down 0.75 at 75.63. The CRB at 277.33 is 0.84 higher on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like tonight in northern and eastern Indiana. Partly to mostly cloudy early and then clearing after midnight. Elsewhere clear. Lows will range from 26 in northwestern Illinois to 38 in the south. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies. Highs will range from 50 in the north to 59 in the far southern part of Illinois. The extended forecast says a warming trend will start on Friday. Highs Friday will range from the 50s in the north and the east to the 60s in the west, central, and southern parts of Illinois. Highs Saturday through Monday will mostly be in the 60s. Low Saturday and Sunday morning will be mostly in the 40s. That's according, of course, to Ed Kieser and Mike Sola. And the lows Monday and Tuesday morning will be in the mid-40s to the low 50s. The warmer weather will aid drying rates. Dry weather expected through Sunday, and it's likely that dry weather will continue into Monday. Some showers may occur next Monday night into Tuesday, followed once again by dry weather through the rest of that week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural futures markets. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois is with us. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's an interesting marketplace this week with 2 days that have been higher. And, of course, this day a bit lower. Last week was a lower week. We blame the dollar for that. And then we had an up move based off some fund buying, I suppose, in the early part of the week. And they kind of gave up, but not completely today. How do you see this market unfolding as we move closer to the November crop production report next Tuesday?
Yeah. Well, it's a gorgeous day here in Coles County, Illinois, at Oakland. Last night, of course, we had the election, we had one private estimate today, Informa. They came in with a bigger corn and a bigger soybean crop. F.C. Stone's going to come out this afternoon. The gold market continues to steal the show. It's up $11.40 at the present time. The weak dollar, of course, we saw had news that Buffett buys the Burlington Northern Railroad as a big investment. And, of course, the weather is unchanged. The marketplace... commodity funds buying during beautiful open harvest weather. The farmers are still long, I think, considerably tons of corn out there, and we're getting a big bite in the soybean harvest. It's defying to see the Fed making an announcement this afternoon of unchanged policy. The Wall Street Journal says the world is awash in dollars, and most of the other countries of the world seem to be doing better, financially in their economies. But the U.S. Economy is struggling along. And as a rule, we did see a little hiccup today in the corn and soybean market. Corn funds sold 5,000 to 6,000 contracts, and beans, they sold 4,000 contracts.
When you take a look at the broader picture, does this remind you at all of the fall of 2007?
This is I started the commodity business in 1971, 72 era, and of course we saw the big 1290 bean rally, and we saw Jimmy Carter's wild inflationary rides and everything else. But this is so different in the fact that we're seeing the Fed put so much money into the system to change it. And we had in Saturday's Wall Street Journal, there's this man by the name of John Paulson, and he was the one that figured out how to short the subprime mortgage rates, and he made billions of dollars, over $10, $12 billion by shorting it. And in the bottom line is he's basically saying by the fact that the Fed put 120% of normal amount of stimulus money into the system, we're going to see higher gold. And when the announcement came out that India bought 200 tons of gold, and the rumor is that China will probably buy the other 200 tons of gold at a price of $1,045 an ounce. This is more than a pickup truckload of gold, and it's a big amount, and it shows how much money and what an economic problem we are going to have with inflation at some point in time.
Well, I guess I'm wondering, and the reason I asked if it reminded you of 2007 in any way was that as we rolled into September, we saw a wall of corn, a big crop that was about to be harvested, and then we just rallied from that point forward.
Despite
the fundamentals at that point, and I know we've been through the recession and we're in the process of recovery, so is it just inflation at
this
point?
I think the big difference in 2007, if I remember right, is that the arithmetic was that we had the big crop, but we didn't have enough corn acres the following year. And with the new economic boom with the ethanol, that was the key. And people knew the answer that there wasn't enough acreage the following year.
Right.
And so it's a different answer. We don't have that kind of demand. We have the export demand in corn's lousy. They're even talking about ethanol usage isn't quite as much as what the USDA is. And as one man said, is that we have two major longs in the marketplace, hedge funds and the American farmer, and everything else is rather dull out there. So it is going to be interesting to see if they can keep this momentum going here as we go into the next 2 weeks of basically beautiful harvest weather.
You going to set yourself up to sell the rallies?
Well, I've been on record to move the $4 corn and $10 beans and wait and see what basically happens. You know, there's going to be some adjustments by the government on their supply demand and adjustments on their production estimate, but we are looking at a very, very big crop, and it's still going to tax our new modern country elevator system to get it all put away in time.
One other question before I let you go. Have you made enough calls around to producers and elevators today to get a handle on whether the crop size remains as big as most believe? And I guess really I'm wondering whether you've talked to many people about test weights in the northern growing regions, Michigan, Minnesota, parts of northern Illinois, northern Iowa.
Well, near as I can tell, the corn in Iowa and the crop is probably bigger, like Sparks indicate. Sparks even lowered the corn crop in Iowa a little bit, but the sources I talked to, it's a big, good crop. Some of the corn in Illinois, some of the later June corn maybe isn't the home run, but there's some awful good corn, and the southern Illinois corn crop is excellent. I think the Indiana crop's bigger. It'll be interesting to see those little adjustments, but in the bottom line is that whenever corn has to move to commercial dryers, it's usually sold at harvest time, and a vast majority of it is more of it than usual is going to go to the commercial dryers, and that's still a part of the equation that's going to unfold here in the next 2 weeks.
Paul, we always enjoy our discussions with you on Wednesdays. Thanks for being with us.
Have a profitable day, Todd.
Hey, you too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. You can hear him again, if you'd like, in a couple of ways. The first one is to visit our website. That address is willag.org, willag.org. Or you can listen to him on your phone through voicemail, our voicemail. The number is 217-333-3434. We update it with a few of the numbers and some analysis just after the opening and closing market bells at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day. 217-333-3434. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Dave Dickey's here now with the Ag News.
In agricultural news, Senators John Kerry and Lindsey Graham are meeting today with White House Climate Czar Carol Browner, Interior Secretary Ken Salazar, and Energy Secretary Stephen Chu to go over some of the details of proposed climate change legislation and to seek a way to move the proposed bill forward. The three administration officials are part of the president's so-called green cabinet, which also includes Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack and Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lisa Jackson. The Secretary General of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries says the group may agree to increase production if it appears that prices might again start to spike. OPEC officials say that prices in the $75 to $80 per barrel range could be high enough to contribute to the decision to pump more oil. President Barack Obama's pick to lead U.S. agriculture trade is drawing mounting criticism from more than 80 left-leaning groups who oppose the nominee's ties to agribusiness. Izzy Siddiqui has a nomination hearing before the Senate Finance Committee today to become chief agriculture negotiator for the U.S. Trade Representative. Siddiqui was the chief plant scientist at the California Department of Food and Agriculture before serving in several key positions at USDA during the Clinton administration, including as USDA's trade advisor. Most recently, Siddiqui was a vice president for Crop Life America, a lobbying organization for the agricultural chemistry industry. Siddiqui's nomination has been challenged by groups representing small farmers, local food supporters, and organizations opposed to free trade and use of farm chemicals. And an ADP Employer Service report today says that U.S. companies reduced jobs in October at the slowest pace in more than a year. The report says that U.S. private employers shed 203,000 jobs in October. The ADP figures are seen by some as a proxy for the government's closely watched report on non-farm payrolls. That report will come out on Friday morning. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program you can listen to starting at about 6 o'clock Central Time Friday evenings. We record at 4:30 in the afternoon. Our guest this week, the folks from Landworth, should be a good program. Please do visit our website and listen to Commodity Week at willag.org. Well, corn harvest is finally in full swing across the Midwest, or quite likely to be very shortly if it's not already, but moisture levels of that corn are much higher this year than they are in recent years, with corn in the 20 and 30% range. As you'll hear, these high moisture levels should result in shrink and drying costs for grain delivered to elevators and processors that could be near $100 per acre.
Support comes from the Westchester Group in Champaign, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of agricultural investments for institutional, corporate, and individual clients. Information at 800-607-6888 or at westchester-group.com.
The high cost of drying this year's corn crop is adding insult to financial misery. The 2009 growing season was already the most costly year to plant corn ever recorded in Illinois. And now the late harvest is piling more dollars on the losses farmers might expect. That's going to put a real pinch on cash flows, says University of Illinois Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnittke.
Yeah, it hurts, and there's really nothing that you can do about that. But there is a couple of things that you probably should consider as you're moving forward. One is that is going to be a significant drag on cash flow. And even though we're now seeing cash crop prices rise up in the 350 and higher range, we still have that $100 drag there, which in a typical year would be more closer to $30. So we're having another cost there that even though we're seeing rebounding in crop prices, we're still not going to have the best income year, even though prices are rising.
Well, that cash flow pinch from the up to an extra $100 per acre in drying cost should cause farmers to consider the impact on next season's operating loan.
This year is going to be a high cost year before this, and now it's going to be an even higher cost. And farmers do need to begin to think about what cash flow needs they are going to have, and begin budgeting for those operating loans, which will likely be higher next year because of low incomes this year.
The operating loan is the money a farmer borrows to put a crop in the ground and is no doubt going to be bigger than expected because of the additional drying cost from this season. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Listening to the Closing Mark Report, it's a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Well, it's a very, very busy day out in the field across the Midwest, and we can tell that because the cash grain folks are not available. Made a couple of other phone calls, wanted to talk maybe to somebody about what kind of plot yields they've had, and even the plots are still being harvested for many of the seed companies, and we weren't able to get hold of them. So you'll get to hear me tell you that over this next couple of weeks, as producers are really moving through the field, that you consumers need to pay pretty close attention to what's happening out there. Those producers will be on the roads with semis and tractors and combines, and there'll be a lot of mud on those roads. Please don't get upset with that. Just be aware that it'll be there. They'll get it cleaned off as quickly as they can. For their part, the farmers need to take advantage of, well, time like this when they can shut down and listen to me and take maybe a 15-minute nap in the afternoon. The specialists here on campus are certain that that will help you stay safe all the way through the harvest season, and that's probably the most important thing that we can do for you at this point, is to make sure that you understand that you're under a lot of stress, and if you're not sleeping well at night, you still need to get a little bit of sleep. Sometime during the day, take a 15-minute or 20-minute nap right after lunch or during this program if you like. You can always, of course, listen to Closing Mark Report, Commodity Week, other programming, anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. Visit there, and you can find our ag programming, including Commodity Week. Our guest, by the way, this week will be Landworth, and he and those folks were up at the USDA's big meeting in Chicago on Monday, along with many of our analysts, discussing just exactly how they were going to deal with this late crop and, well, test weights and standing corn in the field and what would that might mean after December 1 and again maybe in the January report. So we'll get some idea of that from the folks at Landworth when we talk to them and during Commodity Week this week right here on Illinois Public Media.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrid. Agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's National Candy Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1841, Benjamin Goodrich was born. An American industrialist, he founded Goodrich Two & Company in Akron, Ohio in 1870. A decade later, the company became known by its more familiar name, B.F. Goodrich. The company was known for a number of innovations, including adding carbon to the rubber to improve tire wear and the invention of the first synthetic rubber tires in 1937. Also in 1841, the first wagon train arrived in California. In 1873, Anthony Iski was issued a patent for a meat slicing machine. It worked much like a mandolin with a frame to hold the meat while sliding it against the blade. In 1879, James and John Ritty invented the first cash register. They came up with the idea to prevent bartenders from stealing at the Pony House restaurant in Dayton, Ohio. The first model looked like a clock, but instead of the hands indicating hours and minutes, they indicated dollars and cents. Also in 1879, inventor Thomas Elkins received a patent for a refrigerating machine which could be used to cool food. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. On a Wednesday afternoon, we take a look at the weather forecast with Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, beautiful weather again today. What is this, the third day in a row, sunshine, and I'll bet the farmers across the Midwest are rolling as fast as they can. Can you promise them continued good weather for a week?
Well, come on now, don't push it. You forget what year we're in.
Oh, how about 2 days?
Well, actually, it doesn't look all that bad. I think we'll actually have a few days of decent weather still yet to come. There's a weak little disturbance passing through the northern part of the Midwest here this afternoon, and that is going to produce some cloudiness and a handful of showers that might scare a few of us out there, but I think for the most part it's not going to be a very significant event. And once that is out of the way, we'll go back to sunshine again for tomorrow for a big part of the Midwest. There is another little disturbance that will generate a little bit of cloudiness in the upper portions of the Midwest, probably Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin. This will occur mostly on Friday afternoon. We'll have a little bit of shower activity up there as well. Again, just like that, what's going to occur today, we're talking a few hundredths of an inch to 15 hundredths of an inch at the absolute most here. So nothing that's going to be really significant enough to set us back in a major way. Now, it will turn dry again after that. The only storm system we have that's really significant is it's a system that has two pieces to it. The first piece is a cold front that comes down out of Canada into the western Corn Belt. This occurs on Sunday night into Monday. And at the same time, we've got that little pesky tropical disturbance down there in the Gulf of Mexico, and the two of these will meet up across the Midwest at some point during the early part of next week and probably enhance some rainfall across the region. It is not going to be a major rain event for anybody except maybe down in the Delta. The lower Mississippi River Basin area might pick up some 1 to 2 inch rains, but not in the heart of the Midwest. I think we'll be looking at a few hundredths of an inch up to maybe 5 to 6 tenths of an inch, and then the system will be out of the way and we'll be back into high pressure again. So really, it's not a bad scenario. We don't have any extreme cold coming up anytime soon, and temperatures in the western half to two-thirds of the belt will actually be warmer than normal for a while here late this week.
I guess if you have to harvest in the month of November, it sounds like it's pretty good weather to do that. How's the planting season progressing in South America?
Well, it is going favorably. I think we've got a few issues going on in both Argentina and Brazil. In Argentina, some of the westernmost crop areas are lacking moisture, and they've been extremely hot in the past week. Temperatures getting up into the range of 100 to 113 degrees. Most of the heat has been excessive in northwestern parts of Argentina, but they definitely need rain in the west. But the eastern two-thirds of Argentina Argentina are in fine shape. In Brazil, the progress of the harvest or the planting is going favorably. We do need to see an increase in precipitation in a few southern areas now, but nothing too dry.
And then bring us back very quickly, because we're almost out of time, to the hard red winter wheat growing regions. How are they progressing with the final parts of the planting season?
Well, we are moving along here fairly well now. We had too much rain occur in recent weeks that set us out of the fields for a little while, but I think just like in the Midwest for the harvest, the planting of late season wheat is going into the ground favorably, and they should be able to get that accomplished without any further delay.
Drew, thanks so much.
Have a good day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.